Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zakas, my colleague and correspondent in New South Wales, Sydney. So far, the zombie rats have not reached Sydney. However, the zombie rats don't need to reach Sydney for stories of snakes. We're warning here. These are creepy stories. First, we go to a snake that's trying to hide in a toilet or came out of the toilet. Which way to read this, Jeremy?
Well, honestly, John, I wish we knew, because I guess everybody who was in that toilet would probably like to know as well. But for whatever way it was going, it certainly made itself known to everybody that was at the toilet in that time. And where it got in, John, is very unusual as well. It's actually managed to climb up not only the toilet wall itself, but it got in under the eaves. So basically the snake has managed to wrap itself around the, the overhang in the roof and sneak into a space that allowed it to actually crawl over the top of the toilet block and into the toilets. Now, luckily for everybody involved, that the snake was identified before it got in there, because you can imagine you're in the toilet there, you know, in your private space, and suddenly a python of more than 6 feet drops in on you. You can imagine just how terrifying that would be. But for whatever reason, this python thought the toilet block was the best place to be and defied gravity again, as we know that snakes seem to do every single day, to get into that strange spot. Now, this is one of the weirder places to find a snake, just by sheer fact that, I mean, toilet blocks tend to be more exposed. They're not always the most warm places to hide. But for whatever reason, this python was attracted to it and tried to make it its home, but thank goodness it had a happy ending. That python didn't make it into the toilet block and, you know, everyone was safe.
Now, a detail here. This is Australia's culture. Pythons are not venomously poisonous. We're going to speak of that in a moment. But they are called carpet pythons, which is disdainful. But in any event, they're very large, very large. And when they refer to carpet pythons, I've noticed they refer to them as naughty. So they right now are getting the respect of not being deadly. Is that a fair way? Were you frightened of pythons when you saw them as a child?
Well, actually, John, no, because funnily enough, pythons, and because I think it's the culture, as you said, here in Australia growing up with snakes, at my local library, for example, they had a python as a pet. So us children were lucky enough to actually go and pat Solomon, was his name, Solomon the python. So from probably the age of 3 or 4 years old, I was, you know, pretty much around pythons the whole time, especially going to get my books from the library. But the thing is that they are naughty, because they are very, very cunning and very, very clever. And I do remember cases when I was 4 and 5 years old where Solomon the python managed to escape, and he'd often be found wrapped around a bookshelf somewhere in the library where he shouldn't be. And this is the case of carpet pythons. They can escape from the tiniest spaces, and they will turn up in the most ridiculous spots. And I've had friends too, when I lived in Queensland, who actually had carpet pythons as pets. And they told me stories of where they had to literally tape down the top of the aquariums and basically their shelters, because carpet pythons would figure out ways to pop open lids and hatches and make their way out. So they are not only naughty, John, but they are very, very smart. And carpet pythons too, I mean, this is another warning. While they're not venomous, you can't go around just patting them in public, because the thing is that they do have quite a strong bite. I mean, they try and wrap around their food and kill their prey, and that's how they eat them. But they also do still have teeth. So they're naughty, and they can basically hurt you, but at least they're not going to kill you with venom. So I give them a lot of respect, John. But, you know, if I had a carpet python or a brown snake, I'd take the carpet python any day.
We go to Bonnegan in the Gold Coast. A woman was having on the phone conversation in her home, and she started screaming. Oh, I can see why. This is a 2-meter snake. Good heavens. 2 meters, let me translate that. We're talking more than 6 feet, right?
Oh, that's at least around about 7 feet, I think you're getting closer to with a snake of that size.
And it is a giant python. This is none of that carpet stuff. A giant python. She started screaming. The kids, and of course her children, being like you, Jeremy, they don't run away from giant pythons. They run to it to see who it is. Probably snake catchers came, but they couldn't find it. It had gone into the bushes in the meantime. Well, Jeremy, at this point, if I'm told the giant python is in the bushes, I'm saying, children, pack up everything. Get in the car. I don't even know where your father is. We're out of here. So.
And I'd be with you, John. And honestly, I think I've joked about it before. If ever I had a snake that disappeared somewhere around my house, I'd probably, you know, pack up the house, leave, maybe burn it for the insurance. Just joking, if the insurance company's listening, and get out of there, because snakes are very territorial. So a snake that's been there once probably has been there many, many times. So the fact that you can't see it anymore does not by any means mean that it's gone away. And in this case in particular, a python living in your house, you found it the first time, I can dare say it's been there a while, and you're probably going to find it again. So I'm with you, John. I would be out of there. I would not worry about it until it was gone.
Yeah. Now you're asleep, and the whole house is silent, and you hear a lid hit the floor, the linoleum. You know he's back. You know it. And are you going to go into the kitchen? Are you going to turn that light on? What kind of baseball bat are you going to carry? Good heavens. Because it's not correct to kill a snake, correct, Jeremy? You have to turn snakes in, and then they take care of them.
That's correct. In fact, it's illegal to kill a snake in the wild, and even a snake that is found in your house, you still have to do everything reasonable and possible to actually get it out of your house. And if you're being found to harm it or kill it in any way, and people have been prosecuted in the last 6 months on this, you will actually face either fines or potentially jail time because of cruelty to animals and some of the laws associated with that. So exactly right, John. And I think I may have laid the story before where, you know, we could actually tell when I lived back in Adelaide near the National Park whether it was a mouse or a snake in the ceiling or on the roof by the way that the sound, that the mice tended to scurry. But when you heard, I guess you could say, a slithering or a scraping sound that was very slow, you knew that that was probably a snake. And that was always the time that we got the snake catchers out. And luckily enough, they actually did often find the brown snake. So, John, honestly, these things are absolutely insidious. And I know you grow up with them, but I'm still scared of them. I still don't, you know, mess around when you think you've got a snake.
More than scared, Jeremy, I'm very glad I'm in the Northern Hemisphere right now with the number of snake sightings. All right, now we come to a venomous snake. This is serious business. It's in a boot. You check your shoes in the morning. You check your daughter's bag. You look under the bed. You look under the pillows. You make sure the screen door isn't open a little bit, but even then they can get in the door. You look in the cabinets. You look in the bathroom. You look in the, if it's cool, if it's a hot day, you look wherever there's cool in the house. But now somebody, a construction worker, who in Australia is called a tradie, T-R-A-D-I-E, tradie, goes to put his boots on, and there's a snake in his boots, more than 4 foot. What is that, an Eastern brown? It looks like a brown snake.
Yeah, it looks like it certainly was an Eastern brown snake. And the fact that it was 4 feet long, John, and you can imagine this tradie, which is named so because we call them tradesmen, which is people who, you know, build houses, but it looked like only a size 12 boot. So it's not exactly like, you know, a massive basketball player's shoe, for example, where you could imagine a massive snake getting into, but this 4 foot venomous snake managed to curl itself up so tightly and live in there overnight that by the time the tradie got to it in the morning, it was well and truly comfortable and at home. But I think the miraculous part is the tradie actually had the wherewithal to properly look into it. And as I keep joking and saying that we do look into our boots, but I'm actually deadly serious. We do look into our boots in the morning, and it's for this exact reason. But I think the interesting part of the story was that he didn't panic as well. It's something almost that you kind of expect that one day you're going to look into your shoe and you're going to have a 4 foot Eastern brown snake in there that could potentially kill you. So again, this is a very Australian story.
Snakes appear, all I can conclude is that snakes don't mind being around humans, because animals here in New England, they really avoid human beings. We're predators to them. But clearly snakes, Jeremy, I think the word has gotten around in venomous snake land that we're protected beasts. Don't you think, Jeremy, they figured that out, that they're not going to get in trouble if they push their limits?
I think you're right. And snakes are not silly too. We're talking about smart animals, smart rats, smart pythons, but snakes themselves are very, very clever. They're not only territorial and can find their way home from many dozens of kilometers away in some cases, but they are very aware that they don't get killed by humans. In fact, they just get moved on. So I think there's something to that. They figure out that we're not going to kill them. They probably know our local bylaws maybe and know that it's illegal for us to do anything to them. And they just love being around humans. And that's actually a very good point too, John, that the snakes are very, very comfortable here in Australia around humans, because in some ways, while we're not comfortable around snakes, we don't tend to sort of, I guess you could say, panic or overreact when we see them. We just let them go on their way and try not to hinder them, or we try to get them moved on by professionals. So it's kind of a detente. We're kind of in a cold war with snakes where we can't do anything to them, but you know we have to deal with them. So it's again, it's a very much a part of living in Australia and something that we just grew up with and we'll never get rid of. In fact, it's getting worse as we know it.
All right, we're headed to Ashes. I'm going to do my bit here. The English team looks really good, Jeremy. I don't think there's a chance Australia can stay on the pitch with them. Really good. Best English team I've ever seen. My goodness, Jeremy. We're going to Ashes next. The trash talk continues. Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
It's time to play big on Moto Social Casino, America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Moto.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time! Moto.us.
The old way of doing things makes sense for some things, like popcorn at the movies. But the old ways don't make sense if you expect more yield out of your acres, because there's a new way to unlock the full potential of your fields, and it starts when you plant Enlist corn. With four robust trait tolerances, glyphosate and glufosinate, plus 2,4-D choline and FOP, it unleashes ultimate weed control flexibility with multiple modes of action to fight weeds. See what's possible for your fields at enlist.com/corn.
If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family's schedule onto a sleek digital display, so you focus on important things, like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's skylightcal.com/talk.